Room presents So You Want to Stay Married. Today's episode in this study of family life in the modern home is Romantic Love versus Marital Love, especially written and produced for The Upper Room by Carlton E. Morse, featuring Jeanette Nolan as Mary, Francis X. Bushman as the minister, and Thomas Collins as Howard. This is the story of Howard Andrews and Mary Andrews, his wife, and how they suddenly came to a stumbling block in their marriage.
Please, this is my story. My story and my wife's story. Do you mind?
No, of course not, Mr. Andrews.
Thank you. I'm Howard Andrews. Come here, Mary. This is my wife, Mary.
Yes, Mary Andrews.
You see, you can tell by her voice that she's a fine person. Normally a happy person. A splendid girl for a man to be married to.
Howard, that isn't the story.
But it is. It's the main part of the story. Because if you weren't a good wife, fine person, then the fact that we had marital difficulties would be so easily explained. But you are a nice person, and you've said to yourself that I'm not entirely an overboard.
Darling, you have wonderful qualities.
Well, there you are. Two normally intelligent, reasonable... What happened? We suddenly couldn't get along.
It was almost as though I woke up one morning and discovered nothing was right between Howard and me anymore. It's a terrible shock to suddenly realize your marriage is just about on the rocks. It shakes a girl clear down to her feet.
It does things to a man, too. Well, this particular morning, I walked away from the house to catch my bus to the office. I tried to figure out what was the matter, but I couldn't make head nor tails of it. I knew I loved Mary, and I felt pretty sure she still loved me. But I also knew that if we kept on the way we were going, we'd break up out of sheer misery. I guess Mary was standing over the breakfast dishes in the kitchen sink, feeling just as confused and unhappy.
I was. For the first time in the 10 months we've been married, it crept into my mind that maybe I'd made a mistake in marrying Howard. It made me guilty and ashamed. But there it was.
Exactly. Well, as I said, we had no one to turn to. That means, of course, that we had no church affiliations. Oh, like almost everyone else, both Mary and I had gone to church as children and young people, but we'd drifted away. I mention churches because as I walked along on my way to my bus, I passed one of our neighborhood churches and the front door was open. Without even quite knowing what I was doing or why, I walked inside.
Howard still doesn't know why he did it. He thinks it wasn't a natural thing for him to do because he hadn't been inside of a church for 7 or 8 years. But I know differently. It was his subconscious, his inner mind, guiding him to a place where it knew from childhood experience that he could find comfort and a friendly helping hand.
Maybe Mary's answer is right. I still don't know. But I do know that a man came and sat down in the pew beside me and introduced himself, the pastor of the church. And the first thing I knew, I was pouring out my troubles in a flood of words. And before I left, he'd made me promise to bring Mary and come to his study in the back of the church on the following Sunday afternoon.
3 o'clock.
Yes, 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
Oh, come in. Come right in. I've been waiting for you.
Thank you. Dr. Hunt, this is my wife, Mary.
Mary. A beautiful name.
Thank you. Are we keeping you from a service?
Not at all. Our organist is preparing for the evening service and a wedding rehearsal to follow.
It's beautiful.
Won't you sit down and make yourselves comfortable?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Try to let the tension of everyday living slide away from you for a little. Forget everything else and just listen. It's a little hard to know just how to begin this little service which I want to perform this afternoon. It's rather new in my experience as well as in yours. As I've thought and studied your problems, it seems to me that perhaps you two are not familiar with the fundamental elements which hold a marriage together. Pitifully few young married people do know. And now I'm going to talk about a marriage tie, which I believe affects you and your difficulties most intimately. It's the role of love in marriage. Romantic love is sweet and beautiful. It is the stuff dreams are made of. It is at its very height when a girl and boy know the least about each other. It's a pure, happy emotion, unencumbered, unhindered by truth or fact. In romantic love, a man is everything a girl thinks he is. A girl is idealized by her lover far beyond the perfection any woman has yet attained in reality. But that is the love given to a young couple when they stand before the altar and make their vows. How beautiful. How blissful. But how unstable. Because romantic love is untried love. It's the theory of love. Love that hasn't been put to the test. And when it is put to the test, and this is something young people just do not realize, when romantic love is put to the test, it melts away like mist in the sun. But it doesn't go without leaving something in its place. I should say it doesn't if there has been an honest effort on the part of the girl and the boy to unite their lives. As romantic love diminishes, conjugal love, enduring love, realistic love takes root and grows and grows and grows. And in a true marriage, that love is still flourishing and throwing out new tendrils of sympathy and understanding and affection and sweetness to the very end of life itself. And there, I think, is where your trouble lies. You two have been under a spell of enchantment. You gave your vows and have been living in the rosy, ecstatic glow of romantic love. Now, suddenly, the dream is ending. The illusion you have built about each other in the excitement of first love is fading. The scales are dropping from your eyes, and you are, for the very first time, seeing each other as you really are. And you've both been under terrible strain the last few months because each of you has been trying to live up to the other's idealistic conception of the other instead of being yourself. Howard, all your life until you married Mary, the chances are that you were quite outspoken against anything of which you heartily disapproved. You couldn't possibly have lived with Mary a year and a half without having her do something of which you disapproved. And yet I don't suppose in all that time you said one word of disapproval, one word of dissent. Now, that's not good for a man. It builds up resentments and dissatisfaction within himself. And so, against your will, rebellions have set up within you. Mary, you probably have not once lost your temper since uniting your life with Howard. You have probably made desperate efforts never to let him see you any less beautiful than the day he proposed to you. Why, the strain has become almost unbearable. You can't relax. You can't enjoy a moment's peace because of your fear that you're going to spoil Howard's picture of you. Well, Mary, if you keep that up, you're not only going to wonder if your marriage is not a mistake, you're going to develop a violent dislike for him. Marriage is meant to be and should be a comfortable haven for two people. Both have to work at it, yes, but it should never require either the man or woman to strain or live unnaturally. And that's where realistic love is so much finer than romantic love in the end. You two haven't lost love. Not at all. Instead, you are merely changing your gay party dress of Saturday night for the more practical workaday clothes of Monday morning. Howard Andrews, will you stand up, please?
Yes.
Mary Andrews, will you rise and stand beside your husband?
Yes.
Howard and Mary, for the last few months there has been great turmoil in your lives, and especially in your spirits. The first murmuring of the thunder of discontent has sounded in your souls, and the first flicker of the lightning of rebellion has flashed there, and the first raindrops of the tears of disillusion have fallen on the desolation you were beginning to fear lay ahead. And now this afternoon, we are here to cleanse, to sweep out, to dust away all that is not good and true and wholesome, so that those things which were there are no longer there. The uncertain past is no more, and what is no more never was. Only the good survives. Therefore, Howard and Mary, I say unto you, this day you are made whole again, reunited. The romantic first love which first united you 10 months ago is today linked with the mature, realistic, marital love which is now yours. And your lives are again one continuous flow of joy at each other, from beginning to end, which is forever. May we have a word of prayer together. Our Father in heaven, look down upon these two children who for a moment felt strange to each other, and now for the first time begin to understand a little. May they know what is in each other's hearts so that the nearness and dearness of this moment will stay with them forever. Amen.
Howard. Howard.
My dear.
Amen.
Family ties are uncertain and giving way. Family worship will help to strengthen them. Worship in the church of your choice and have daily devotions in your home. The church and the home are the basic rocks upon which the moral structure of this nation is built. They should be and must be one united foundation. Ask your pastor for devotional helps or send a postcard to The Upper Room, Nashville, Tennessee. Your announcer, Russell Thorson.